Psalm 105. That's right. I'm not ready to do Genesis yet. A lot of things I'm looking at there in Genesis 25. We'll get to it. And, you know, a lot of it is genealogies and descendants of Ishmael and of Abraham by his wife after Sarah, Keturah, and all those Arab nations that come from that. And so there's quite a bit of information there that is more historical and study material than anything that we could apply devotionally to the church. So I'm really just seeking the Lord as to what He wants me to focus on in that section. So we'll keep praying and we'll keep looking in that. In the meantime, I was just rejoicing in some of the truths of our faith, and Psalm 105, the first five verses will be our portion that we will consider today, and I trust will be a blessing to you as it was to me, just going through this precious first part of this psalm. So Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that You would hear our prayer and help us, Lord, as we consider this psalm, that as we consider all the reasons we have to rejoice, Father, and all the instructions that are given to us here by the psalmist, that, Father, we may apply it to our lives, that we may be, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, always rejoicing. And so, Father, we thank You for this time. We commit it to Thee and to Thy glory. And may all the words that we speak and all the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto Thee. And once again, we thank You for this opportunity to fellowship in Your Word. May Your Holy Spirit guide and lead us and be our teacher to the end that we may be conformed to the image of Thy dear Son. So, Father, we ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So just a wonderful psalm of David here. Now, you'll notice that the psalm continues for another 45 verses. And most of your commentators will take Psalm 105 and 106 and put them together as a set, because they reiterate God's dealing with the nation of Israel and how God has done great things for them and how He has helped them in ages past. And so literally what David is saying in those first five verses, he then applies to himself and does in the verses which follow. Now that's the history of the nation of Israel. Look at verse 6 just to see that. It begins with, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. So the things that follow are all things that the nation of Israel should rejoice in. He's reminding them of their heritage. He's reminding them of the blessings that they have as God's chosen people. And certainly, it should have brought great rejoicing to them, a sense of being privileged to be the chosen people of God at the time which the psalm was written. But for us, as we look at those things, so too we should be able to glory in this wonderful same way, but over the things that we have received as the people of God of the New Covenant or the New Testament. And so it is a skill to praise God. Did you know that? It should be the natural response of every child of God when our hearts have been warmed by His grace and His love and His mercy. Praise should just come from us like steam, you know, from the kettle. And so it should come up. And indeed, it ought to be that way. But if we're not practiced at it, it becomes difficult for us. And let me say this, on this particular truth, there are some other denominations who have a head start on us when it comes to praising God. If you've ever spent time among some of the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, who I know there's a lot of doctrinal things that we would differ on, and then say, no, well, they haven't got this right or they haven't got that right. But listen, they surely and truly know how to give God glory. They're not ashamed to praise the Lord. They're not ashamed to stand up and say, praise God, hallelujah. All right? And not that you and I are ashamed, but sometimes we're so... Can I use the word stoic? So reserved, so in our little boxes, our neat little boxes of, I couldn't do that. Would it be improper? I think we should err on the other side of that one. And just give God the glory, Just praise Him out loud. Why not? Hallelujah. He is good. We were watching the by the way, Daniel's... not playing the violin today because he can't lift his arms. He played the accompaniment for the school's national championship in Pretoria, choir championship, and they did Schubert and Beethoven over and over and again as all these choirs sang and they had to play, and they played, I don't know, was it 3 days? 3 days of violin playing, okay? He can't lift his arms up. So he's like, he picked up his violin and he put it back in the box. He said, I'm not going to play. But even at that gathering, which is schools, and it's from all over the country, and they're gathering, they had a preacher. Said it was a woman, but anyway, they had a preacher. The man who was conducting, he kept saying, God is good. Obviously amongst other statements like, look at me, we're sitting down now, we're at 60%. It's strange. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, they were giving God glory in the middle of a public gathering, which wasn't a religious gathering. And we were talking about it on the way to church this morning. We have a lot of liberty in this country. Liberty to give God glory. Amen. And if you look at the instructions in these verses, you can see that the psalmist is telling us we ought to be doing this. This is what we should do. And so, the words of David in the Psalms are just so many times he gives such great expressions to truth that you and I hold to. And so if you say, well, I don't really have the words, well, get them in the Psalms, amen? I mean, words like in Psalm 119, David says to God, he says, oh, how lovely is thy law. Words like, thy loving kindness is better than life. And because of that, my lips shall praise thee. Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. Do you speak to God like that? Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none in earth I desire beside thee. Can you see the heart of devotion there? He is practiced in it. You can hear this is a man who easily speaks of the goodness of God in his life. Not just the goodness of God in Israel. And we can speak of the goodness of God to the church over the ages, but there's also the goodness of God in our individual lives each and every day. And so he begins enthusiastically with the word, oh. Do you see that in verse 1? Oh, give thanks. It's not just give thanks. Oh, by the way, give thanks unto the Lord, You ought to give thanks unto the... He goes, oh! What is that? What is the O? The O is passion. The O is emotion. The O is burden. The O speaks to his state of heart. And he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And we ought to pay attention to the O. Don't just read and say, oh, it's a song. But really, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Like, this is the burden of his heart. Give thanks unto the Lord. And we're not to, we're left with no doubt as to his purpose in the psalm. After those five verses, you can see it clearly. And how much more do we have a purpose to praise God and give thanks, to call upon his name and to make known his deeds among the people? God wants a witness. He wants a testimony. Just as we've seen in this last month, looking at missions, we see it again, even here in the Psalms. God wants a positive, rejoicing, hallelujah witness. The very last Psalm, Psalm 150, will over and over repeat that phrase, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Every time it says praise the Lord, the Hebrew says, hallelujah. Look at the last phrase of the previous psalm, just before 105. What does it say? Hallelujah. 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 And you'll see it so many times throughout the Psalms. And what is he saying? He's saying, give God glory. Praise the Lord. Hebrews defines praise to God as the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. It's called a spiritual sacrifice there. It's something we ought to be doing. All right. And so let's see if we can find a couple of ways in which David gives it to us to do here. So he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. All right. How? Verse 2. Sing. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. So firstly, we ought to sing unto him. Just look at that hymn book, 600 and something hymns, and that's not all of them. 600 and something songs, what are they about? They're about God. Okay? Fanny Crosby wrote Blessed Assurance, the first one we sang today. Apparently wrote over 9,000 hymns in her own capacity, under her own name, and she used pseudonyms for the rest, taking the number up to 15,000 or something like that. Check it out. Maybe you can get bigger numbers. I know she wrote a lot of hymns. Okay, just incredible. How many hymns have there been written glorifying God? How many poems? We've got 150 of them here in the book of Psalms about God. And there's hymn book full. Then I think of that hymn writer who wrote, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. Okay? What happened? What's behind that song? He says, I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. 1 John tells us we love him because he first loved us. Why do we have songs? Because of his love. Because he loved us so much. Because his salvation is full and complete. He's the author of our salvation. There's 238 references to singing in the Bible. 95% of those are direct thanksgiving to God. Most of them, by far. And there are at least 50 commands to believers to sing amongst those mentioned. 50. 50 times, at least, we're told, 50 times, sing. God wants us to sing. Jesus sang. Anybody remember when he sang? After the Last Supper, and they finished the meal, they sang songs before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before Jesus goes into the darkest time of his earthly life, the most difficult, trying time, he sings. He sings. And we ought to pay attention to that. Singing can lift your spirit. Singing can help you. Singing can get you focused on God. That's why the first thing he tells us in giving God thanks, the first things he tells us in making his deeds known among the people is sing unto him. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. And talk ye of his wondrous works. Yes, we need to talk of his wondrous works. The wondrous works in the context here is God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. It's God's deliverance of them from the 40 years in the desert after he had kept them, bringing them into the promised land. It is God taking care of them in all the battles that they fought, all the victories that they won, God's faithfulness to them. And so he says, talk of all his wondrous works. Yes, some of those works that are wondrous would also be terrible. They'll be speaking of God's judgments and how righteously God had judged and dealt with them when they'd gone astray and when they'd done wrong. It shows God's love that he treats his people that way. That he doesn't just leave them to carry on in wickedness, but that he brings in that judgment as a loving father to chasten and correct them and bring them on the path. They rejoice in that as one of God's wondrous works. We need to tell the world, we need to sing about it, yes, but we need to tell the world how Jesus has saved us. I was blessed out of my socks this week. I was walking in the backyard about the time I throw bird seed out for the wild birds, and I heard a voice loud on a, okay, wow, an audible voice, amen. And it was like, rah, 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 Bible, rah, 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 this is 2 days, the day, rah, rah. That's all I could make out amongst. It's like, what are you, what is that? So I headed back in the house with my wife. I think that's preaching. She said, yeah, I hear. Where's it coming from? I said, I have no idea where it's coming from. So I got in my car and I started driving the neighborhood and I couldn't find. Eventually got up to the traffic light there on the corner of Platan and the N12. And there was a big Amarok Bucky Park there, two big speakers on the roof and three white guys. One of them with a microphone and he was preaching. He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching, you must be born again. He was preaching, Jesus saves. He went back to the garden. He showed how sin came into this world and death by sin. And I was like, goosebumpy. I was just blessed. Somebody was preaching the gospel. So these three guys, they travel all over the country. This is what they do full time. They preach the gospel wherever they can. They park their van and they preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Had a bit of fellowship with them. They had some Bible questions. I answered some of their questions and they were grilling me this way and that way on a few things. It was interesting conversation. And yes, there were some differences in our theology, but we have the same spirit and the same desire to get the gospel out. What a blessing. What were they doing? Make known his deeds among the people. They were talking of all of his wondrous works. And so it is vital that this world has a vivid view of Christ. It is vital that that view of Christ comes to them because we are being vocal. They're not going to know it. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to see it if we're not visible and vocal. Talk of all his wondrous works. What has God done for you today? What has he done for you in this past week? Did you tell someone? I hope so. If you haven't, well, then let's just pick it up and go with it, right? All right. What does he then say? He says in verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Glory ye in his holy name. You say, what's that? That's the emphasis needs to remain on God and his glory. You see, when David tells these things that happen, he's not telling you because Israel is God's chosen. He's not telling you this because Israel is this great nation. He's not doing this because he's a great king. He's not doing this because of the victories that God used him to win. He is doing this because glory must be to God. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. To God be the glory for your life. To God be the glory for his supply in your daily life. To God be the glory that you have breath in your lungs today. To God be the glory that you have family, that you have loved ones, that you have a place to stay. To God be the glory that he has given you a church. To God be the glory that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. To God be the glory for every hymn that has been written, for every bit of word or song or poem or passage of scripture that has been inspired and kept, because he has given it to us so that we can live for him and be full. To God be the glory that he has given us his Holy Spirit. And so we ought to be enthusiastically giving glory to God. Sometimes, you know, we know the scriptures say we need to be humble, right? We need to humble ourselves. And somehow we think humility is being quiet. I don't know where that comes from. Somehow we think humility is being focused on us. Does that make sense to you?
No.
To be so focused on you and how humble you are. Well, I'm just trying to be humble, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. Makes me think of a country song. Oh, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. That's not humble at all.
Yeah.
You say, what's true humility? Doing what the psalm says, give God the glory. Excuse me. That's humility, giving God the glory.
Amen.
You say, how does that work? Well, somebody says to you, good message, brother. Yeah, well, praise God. Why? Because it's his message. You know, well, I really appreciate it, brother. Well, let's praise God because that's the fellowship of believers that he's given us. You know, thank you for praying for me, brother. Yeah, well, let's praise God because he has given us the privilege of prayer. You know, well sung there. Yeah, well, let's praise God because he has blessed someone with the ability to bless others with their voice. But it comes from God. See? And that's what we need to do. We need to give God the glory. We need to not just quietly be humble, right? We need to be humble by giving God the glory, putting the emphasis on the Lord. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, we've talked about seeking the Lord many, many times, but think about that for a moment. Surely you found the Lord when you got saved? So why does David keep telling, didn't David know where the Lord was? He keeps saying, seek the Lord. Didn't he have him? Didn't he know him? Of course he did. But what's he saying? He's saying, seek him. And he goes on to say, seek his face. Look at that. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord and to seek his face? It's to get him to look at you and for you to look at him. Remember the blessing that Aaron was told to give to the nation of Israel? They're in Numbers. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Or he lift up his countenance upon thee. Hey, all right. What's that about? It's God looking at them and them looking at God. You say, what's that about? As we look to him, he looks to us. What does it say in James? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. This is again, the seeking of God. Yeah, is to seek him in everything. To look for him. What's God's purpose? What's his will? What's he saying to the church? What's he want us to do in this scenario? Living our lives on his terms, not our own. There is a Christianity today, and we're all probably guilty of it to some extent, that we serve God on our terms. I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that. This is how far I'm willing to go. Well, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. You ought to be saying, it doesn't matter what I want. What matters is if God wants me to do it. Now, sometimes we get an idea in our head, God wants us to do something. Meantime, it was the preacher's idea. He put it there, you know. All right, you make sure it's God's idea, God's plan for you, and then do it. Don't say no to God. You can say no to the preacher as much as you like, amen, and to somebody else who thinks they want to put the calling on you, all right? God calls, but when he does, don't hold back. When God lays it on your heart to do something, obey that thing. Obedience. It is not enough just to listen to the word. It's not enough just to read the word. It's not enough just to be able to memorize and recite the word. You ought to be obedient to the word. And so seeking his face is to get into that relationship where his face smiles upon you. When he can say, as he said of his son, when he walked on this earth, the father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It is walking in such a way to seek God's face so that when he looks at you, he finds you well pleasing in his sight. You say, how do you get that? It's by walking in the victory that Christ has given us. It is by walking in the fullness of the Spirit. It is by obeying those instructions given us in Scripture. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, there's the singing, hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. There's a Scripture to obey, amen. You thought this was Old Testament and you were going to write it off, right? Well, there it is in the New Testament. All right, so seek his face, seek him evermore, always seeking God, looking for his blessing, looking for his smile to be upon you, seeking his favor. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than? It's all true, but we ought to live that way. We ought to boldly proclaim the truth and the grace and the love of God and his wondrous works. And we ought to sing it. Maybe we need some new hymns. Amen. Because there's never going to be enough hymns. We're going to sing for eternity. We have to get through all of them. They aren't enough to keep going for all eternity. That's what I mean. There's never going to be enough. You're going to keep writing more. You know, we could sing each one once, and there'd still be an eternity left to sing some more. So write some more hymns. Maybe you don't write the music. Write the words. Daniel will write the music. Amen. Why not? But you know, the problem with us today is that we're like the American preachers love to say down south, you know, like we've been sucking persimmons. You know, like all sour-faced. Like, you know, you come to church and you look like you just put a lemon in the car.
Hello, brother.
And there's no smile. There's no joy. And I'm glad it's not here like that. But sometimes we get like that. We're like, that all the way here. And it's, oh, it's church. I better smile. Hello, brother. You know, I'm smiling, but not really, you know. Well, what's wrong with you? You didn't spend time with God. You didn't seek His face. You spend time with God and seek His face, you'll be happy to see the brethren. Even the ones you're not getting along with. Because there may be a chance you could make that better today. I beseech the Euodias and Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord, Paul told those two. What was that about? It says, reconcile the thing. If there's an issue, if there's a problem, if you're at odds, if you and your spouse came to church today and you did what that one preacher described as the family who's coming to church and mom and dad are bickering all the way in the car, you know, until they hit the bump in the parking lot. You know, we've got a nice big bump here. As they hit the bump, boom, everybody smiles, you know, and it's, hi, brother, hallelujah. Daddy gets up and he gives this great big testimony of how wonderful it is to love Jesus, you know, and he sits down and everyone's, oh, thank you for your testimony, brother. And they get in the car, and as they leave the church, they hit the bump, and mom and dad are, wada, 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 all the way home. Now, that's a humoristic way of looking at it, but sometimes that's how we are. And what's the problem? We haven't sought the Lord. Because when you seek the Lord, you can't live like that. When you're walking with God, you've got to set it right. He doesn't want it to stay bad or hypocritical. The one thing that upset Jesus more than anything else in His earthly ministry was hypocrisy. He'd rather you be cold than you be lukewarm. So you come to me one day and you say, brother, how are you doing? I say, I'm cold. You might go, preacher ought not be cold, right? You're right, I ought not be cold, but at least I'm being honest. Yeah. Instead of, preacher, how are you doing today? And I'm like, hallelujah, brother, I'm fine. Meantime, I'm not. That's no good. At least if I tell you I'm cold, I admit it, I get under conviction, and you can pray for me. Amen. So if we have at odds with one another, we need to fix that. One of the Psalms says, forget the number now, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yes. And it speaks about how it's like the oil that ran over Aaron's beard when he was anointed. So what's that? It's a picture of the Holy Spirit which unites us. And it's a beautiful thing how the light would catch and glow and just show God's grace and presence like the dew of Mount Hermon. Eh? And so our fellowship ought to be that way. It's only going to be that way if we're seeking the Lord. I just remember, and I know I'm getting a little bit off here, but the unity of believers comes when we're all facing God. When we're all facing the Lord, there is unity. So how does it happen? Well, we're all pointed to the same one. We're all going in the same direction, and we're all in harmony with His purpose. That's the unity we ought to have. You know the story about stroking the cat? You know, you mustn't rub the cat up the wrong way, they say. You know, when you rub a cat's hair the wrong way, what does the cat do? It does like a weird strain, pulls up thing. Okay? And so it doesn't seem to like it very much. You know, it's like, right? And you know what the problem is? Sometimes the preaching is supposed to be stroking you, and you're supposed to be stroking your hair flat and be comfortable. Sometimes it's rubbing you up the wrong way. You know what the problem is? The cat needs to turn around. If you find yourself out of harmony with God and God's people and the truth of God, you need to ask yourself the question, am I facing the right way? All right, and that's what he says, seek the Lord. Notice it also says in verse 4, and his strength. In Nehemiah's day, when they read the scriptures from the morning till midday, the people began to cry. They were crying because they realized how they had messed up and why they had spent those 70 years in captivity and why it was so sad because they had gone away from God's word. So they were crying. And so Ezra, the scribe, and Nehemiah and those guys, they run in amongst the people and they tell them to stop crying. They say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That was said to a bunch of weeping people. Why? Because they recognized their faults, but then God lifts us up. Isn't it so? The joy comes after you've dealt with your sin before God. Recognize your sin. The sword of God's word has pierced your heart. You've dealt with it, and what happens? The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's that joy? If not Jesus. Jesus is our joy. Because through him we have eternal life. Through him we have forgiveness of sins. Through him we have access into the presence of God. Through him we have a standing in perfection before God. Through him. And so we can seek his strength. What strength is that? The strength of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, fill your tank this morning. Fill it up with God's strength. How are you going to face tomorrow? How are you going to face that thing you're worried about? Are you going to face it praising God? You ought to. Why? Because he can give you the strength. How is it going to be solved? I don't know, but I know him who can. Amen. And that's what we've got to keep reminding ourselves. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And then you might be filled with a bunch of thoughts like most of us are. What if? Hey, one popped in my head this week. Can you believe a random thought popped in my head? I wonder if I'll ever get cancer. Have you ever had that thought?
Yeah.
Well, what's the next thought? Family history, right? So who had cancer? Hey, my grandmother passed away. I wonder what cancer she had. Now you can get real negative real quick going down that road. Right? So how do you face that? How do you face cancer? How do you face any illness? How do you face hardship? Things in this country are getting worse. Things in the world are getting worse. How do we face that? We come back to who God is. And so whether I go through the valley, whether I'm on the mountaintop, whether I'm tripping, falling, bashing my teeth out along the way, God is still God. And if I seek his face, if I rejoice evermore, if I fill my heart and life with his, I can face those things victoriously. And eventually I can face death victoriously. Is it not he who has pulled the sting out of death? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded of Romans 7 yesterday. Think about that. Go there. Go have a quick look with me. Romans 7. I want you to see what Paul writes at the end of chapter 7. You all know Romans 7, right? Where Paul says, the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would, that do I, you know, and all of that. And it's like, oh, wretched man that I am. You know that part? Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, how am I ever going to have any kind of victory? How am I ever going to manage to overcome this? How am I ever going to solve this problem that besets me? Hey? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's he just said? He's answered his own question. How are you going to have the victory? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look what he says in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you want to start singing, you read this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Are you free from the law of sin and death? You are. Amen. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's our responsibility? To walk in what Christ has done for us. What's our victory? Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You say, well, seek the Lord, seek his strength. There it is. There it is. And how do we appropriate that? By faith. By faith. Just like you get saved by faith, you walk by faith. You live by faith. You believe what it says and then you walk in it. Back there in Psalm 105, we're going to finish up now. I know time has gone. Verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. It's what we were just doing. What does Ephesians 2 verse 1 say? It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. A done thing. Eternal life began in you the day you got saved. You're already living it. Yeah, the body's got to get transformed, changed, but the eternal life has already begun in you. These things write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 13. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. That's what we came together to do today, to seek the Lord, to rejoice in his promises, to seek his face evermore. I want to just, as we remember his marvelous works, we can mention so many things, but I want to give you one passage in closing. Will you turn with me to Jeremiah 29? Jeremiah 29. Isaiah, then we get Jeremiah. Now, when I turn to Jeremiah 29, I automatically get this sort of apprehensive feeling. You say, what's the apprehensive feeling? Well, it's that feeling that we're about to quote a verse that everybody puts on every pencil and sharpener and poster and, you know. And they misquote the thing, and they use it in such a strange way. But did you ever read just beyond that verse? Jeremiah 29, look at verse 11. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. He's speaking to Israel, the nation, and telling them that they should still have hope because he's still going to give them everything he's promised, even though they're facing judgment. Okay? Watch verse 12. You want to say what it is to seek God's face? It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. First way of seeking God's face, pray. And I will hearken unto you. What's the first part of the word hearken?
Yeah.
Hear. He will hear. The word ken means knowledge. To hearken means to hear and give knowledge. Give his attention. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me by and by. When ye shall search for me now and then on occasion when it suits your schedule. When you feel like it, brother, that's when you shall search for me. When you search for me, you know, just like, well, let's see if this works. Oh, Lord, please help. Well, now we'll wait and see what happens. Have you ever sought the Lord with your whole heart? You say, what does that mean? Every faculty, every ounce of your will, your mind, your emotions, engaged and physically engaged in seeking God. In other words, seeking nothing else, right? If it's divided, it's not your whole heart. That's what it is to seek His face evermore. I wrote something in my notes here, and I'm not sure why, but let me read it to you. Dumb statues, no matter how beautiful, can never substitute for speaking witnesses. So what was that? Well, that was about us taking what we know, what we've enjoyed today, and I hope you've enjoyed it because I've enjoyed looking at this, being reminded, being dealt with, and saying, you know what, I need to just get going with this thing and start obeying this thing, remembering His marvelous works, seeking His face, tell of His greatness and His goodness, not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, praising Him in all that I do, doing all these things. Listen, that's far, you know, I don't want to be a statue. I don't want to be a thing that just stands there. Never really does anything. We ought to be the movers and the shakers, the ones who are doing something for God. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of all our devotion. Let the church ring out His praise and unashamedly shine His light. All glory, honor, and praise be to our God, for He is worthy. The Moravian missionaries went out and said that, and it was something along this line, that the Lamb may receive the reward of His labor, that God may receive all that He is worthy of. How will He get that? We have to give it. We have to give it. Our service, our devotion, and our love. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank You for the reminder. We thank You for Your goodness, Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You help us. The last thing we want, Lord, is to be so stuck in our own mold, our own lives, our own ways, and not able to glorify You as we should. Give us the liberty, help us take the liberty that is ours, and help us, Lord, to praise Thee with renewed strength, with renewed vigor, with renewed zeal. Put a song in our hearts, we pray. Help us to meditate upon Your word, to remember Your deliverance, to be reminded of Your power and Your strength, and to seek Your face with the whole heart, in prayer and in practice, that we may praise Thee in the fullness. We ask this blessing now as we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's sing "To God Be the Glory."